Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond. Kindly sponsored by Joe Malone London.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BottomingPod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. Hello. What's fancy seeing you here?
Oh dear, terrible.
This is part two,
yeah,
of our special two-parter for World AIDS Day. So, if you are listening straight off the back of the old episode, thanks for sticking with us. If you've taken a break, which I don't blame you for, welcome back. If you haven't listened to part one yet, go and do that.
You should do that.
Because that will make sense.
Probably more sense, but. We spoke with Callum from National AIDS Trust and Jose, who has lived experience of living with HIV. Two really great interviews. And go and give them a listen and then join us back here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be here to greet you.
Mm-hmm. But we'll just get straight into it because we've already done all of the intro spiel in the other one.
Why waste any time?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Positive East are a London-based charity who offer a range of services a lot more than I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
I think I thought I'd obviously done some research and have known about Positive East for quite a few years at this point, but even with that knowledge, I still wasn't fully aware of the extent of some of the things they do, which is just incredible.
Yeah.
In the past, we've mentioned about speaking to private individuals, public services, different charities, and we wanted to make sure that we did the same with this because there's just so many different options for people accessing different types of services. So obviously National AIDS Trust work on the lobbying and the political kind of research side of stuff. Positive East work in the community or another charity, but offer, as you will hear from Andre, a range of services to anyone and everyone that needs them, that have just been diagnosed or have lived with HIV for any amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, here is Andre.
My name is Andre Smith. My pronouns are he and him, and I am the counselling coordinator at Positive East. So what that involves basically is that I basically lead on the counselling support services. I myself am supported by an amazing team of 12 counsellors who all of them volunteer their time out of their lives and their jobs to help us manage and run the service, which without them we couldn't do. Specifically, so I look after this team of 12 counsellors. I do all the counselling assessments when the referrals come in, whether it's internal or from external sources. I do the clinical assessments, get an idea of what the issues are for each client, and then tend to allocate them out to the counsellors. I also do some, you know, clinical work myself as well, so it's not all just sort of administrative. And I also run twice weekly mindfulness meditation sessions, which we do on Zoom, which I'm happy to say very well attended as well. So people beginning to realize the value of stillness and silence as a coping strategy for men's mental health sort of thing. So, and that's just part of our sort of wider health and well-being services. So there's probably 100 of other sort of administrative type things I do, but that's the sort of general overview of what I do.
Incredible. And so for anyone listening who doesn't know, can you tell us a little bit more about why Positive East was set up and the kind of work you do generally?
Okay, so Positive East is now, I think we're going into our 31st year. And Positive East was born as a result of a marriage between two previous organisations, which was LEAN, the London East AIDS Network, and the Globe Centre. And so both of these organizations were basically sort of out there before we had antiretrovirals, and we were sort of dealing with the impact of this thing called AIDS, as it were, and sort of run and organized by community activists. And the idea was that they would sort of merge, bring together their experiences and their resources. So Positive East was formed out of that. And so Positive East offers a range of services. We have counselling, obviously, which I've told you a little bit about. We have information and advice, which is there to support people with issues that might be immigration, it might be welfare, it might be helping them to access other services, you know, sort of national or local level. We have peer support, which again, that's sort of offering support, which isn't quite as deep and incisive as counselling, but that's run by people who themselves, we have peer mentors who themselves are living with HIV. They've been through their journeys, so they are well placed to work with some clients who might be newly diagnosed or who might be long term into their diagnosis, but are struggling, feeling lonely, feeling isolated, not sure about how to practically manage their lives. So they get an opportunity to sit down with the peer mentors that come from the peer support team, and you know, to sit down with somebody who's been through it can be quite encouraging and quite inspiring, because you get a living example of somebody who says you don't end at HIV, you don't begin there and you don't end there, sort of thing. So that's that. Peer support, also we also have lots of workshops. We have STRIDE, where so every sort of second week we get experts who come in, and it might be to talk about HIV and aging, it might be to talk about confidence, it might be to talk about you know, whatever might be in the news, you know, in terms of developments, or just sort of living with HIV, sleep hygiene, managing your money, all sorts of stuff, you know, that affects all of us, as it were. We have another workshop called She Moves, that's specifically for women. So that's a sort of weekly exercise class. We all know that a little bit of getting the heart beating makes endorphins, you know, sort of feel good, as it were. And that's doing really well, actually, as well. Lots of our female clients are subscribing to that. We have the mindfulness sessions that I talked about as well. We also have something called Technicolor, which is a sort of LGBTQ plus sort of film night where they watch a film and then afterwards there's sort of discussion and debate about it. We've got lots of projects like Women for Women, which is a really good one. I think that's Positive East in association with BARTS and an other organization, which will come to me in a minute. And that's to encourage women to come forward and be trained as sort of community advocates. And that's specifically really targeting African women into educating them about PrEP. A lot of African women might have partners who are not necessarily playing safe out there. So, you know, the more they can understand about what's available and PrEP and all that sort of stuff. So the Women for Women is Positive East. They're going to train up some women from the community who can then go out into their communities and start to teach and educate women about what is out there and sexual health and all that sort of stuff. So we've got prevention and testing. We have a very, very robust prevention and testing service. And of course, we've been challenged with COVID, you know, how do you do prevention and testing? You know? So our team, they go out into the community. So we're still doing, with all the safety protocols in place, you know, still doing face-to-face testing at various venues, including Positive East. But we're now also doing sort of online testing where you can get a kit sent to your home and then you can get some advice online on how to do that. Or you can go through it with somebody. It's quite interesting in terms of how I think in the face of COVID, I know this might not be one of your questions, but how we as an organization have had to, when it hit us, we had to sort of overnight sort of migrate all of our services, you know, sort of online, suddenly on the telephone, you know, slowly but surely we're sort of coming back to more face to face. But in a way, it's helped us expand our services. So before everything was face to face, be it counseling, you'd meet with a peer support or you'd meet with the advice team, whereas now there's much more choice. That's some of the services that that we offer.
Just a couple of things.
A huge amount.
Well, we're a hub in a way, and I think that what makes Positive East unique as well. And I think also it's a sort of like a sort of one-stop shop. Like we can't solve everybody's problems and everybody's dilemmas, but somebody can come to Positive East, and they might be referred in because their clinic, the consultant at the clinic has decided that they'd be they might benefit from some counselling support. And then so they come in, they get registered, and the person who's doing the registering might also realize that actually this person could do with some help around benefits. This person might really be a good person to receive some peer support, or actually this person needs something to do. They're talking about volunteering. So, you know, the registration sort of flags up all those other areas where we might be able to support them. So they might come in for one thing, but they'll find that actually there's a whole range of services that can support them.
Yeah, that's
so
amazing.
It's really tailored to the individual, then.
Yes, as much as possible, and I think that's our ethos as well. That certainly when I work with clients, that it's not somebody coming in for six mix sessions, you know, with a bit of CBT and off you go.
Yeah,
you know, you've got a human being coming in. You know?
Yeah,
and I think all of us at Positive East are quite mindful. You know, that there's a huge story behind every human being, whether it's someone sitting opposite you on a train or someone walking in our doors, you know. So clients often sort of say it feels like a sort of home from home for them, you know, where they can get so much support.
Yeah.
You know, when the building was open, you know, we have a huge sort of cafeteria area. People come in for lunch. We've got a sort of computer workstation. We've got a gym. You know, there's a whole range of services, quite holistic.
And I guess with this sort of area as well, it needs to be, because as you say, it impacts so many different parts of someone's life.
And
like everything that you've mentioned there, everyone that comes to you will have to deal with, you know, whether it's fitness or well-being generally, or taxes or immigration, all of these things you mentioned. So to have all of that and have it with the overlap of the HIV services as well, I guess, is super important, which kind of leads me on to the next question, actually. The National AIDS Trust recently released a report that showed that mental health services are failing people living with HIV.
Yes.
And I guess with this in mind, obviously, as Positive East's counselling coordinator, can you maybe share a little bit more about how the service that you offer is tailored for people living with HIV and like why that element is important and what may be missing from traditional mental health services?
Okay, that's a big question. I think we've got like over 30 years of experience of delivering counselling. So you learn as you go along in terms of what the needs are, you know, and what the issues and challenges are facing anybody who is either newly diagnosed or actually sort of living long term with HIV. So I think that, you know, when somebody is diagnosed with HIV, for them, that can land almost like a meteor into reality then. And suddenly this huge thing has just landed in their world. They can't see above it, around it, underneath it. And they go from being somebody who had all sorts of resources and was doing okay in the world to suddenly, I'm just HIV. I'm just this thing called HIV. And this is then they start constructing, it's possible to start constructing a new identity out of I am HIV. And I think that what we do is we help people sort of reframe that. That's one of the areas where we work with them to help remind them that HIV is something actually that, you know, with some support, you're going to learn hopefully really well and positively to live with. You are not HIV. You are a person. You know, we are more than, you know, more than our gender, more than our jobs, more than I'm more than someone's brother, someone's son, someone's whatever sort of thing, you know, human being first. And so we have that in mind. As I said before, you know, we're dealing with a human being here, but we're also very aware of the challenges, you know, the stigma, the, you know, that suddenly you've got to get used to this, you know, diagnosis, and you can be sort of almost sort of rush through the system like, okay, here's your diagnosis, here's your pills, take those and off you go, sort of thing, you know, and people are suddenly, oh, I've got to make all these changes, and you know, so I think, you know, we're very, very mindful of counseling doesn't just give clients some techniques to help them cope better. We really look at the underlying issues, you know, that, and those underlying issues, they're psychological, they're emotional, they're also practical, you know, as well as being physical sort of thing. And I guess where we're lucky is that we don't necessarily have to sort of limit people to 4 or 6 sessions, which sometimes it's all you get on the NHS.
Yeah.
It can take that time for somebody to start feeling comfortable to even begin to start talking freely about it. So we don't offer, you know, never ending counseling, but you know, if somebody needs 12 sessions or if they need 16, they, you know, sometimes up to 20 sessions. So we have space and we have time to properly explore the reality of that person, the world of that person, and what's going on, you know, and to explore all those issues that they're coming up against. You know, people still use words like, I feel dirty, I feel diseased, you know, who's going to want me? I'm no good now, you know. So issues like sort of self-confidence, low self-esteem, you know, as well as the stigma, as well as the rejection, disclosure. All these things that, you know, I don't sort of paint, you know, the wider mental health services as a villain, because it's not everybody's at breaking point, you know, so people are sort of rushed through the system, as it were. But for the person who's experiencing that, they are fragile. And you know, if they get a sense that somebody is genuinely there, genuinely interested, genuinely present, genuinely showing up. And I think how we also tailor it is I say to every client I work with, and I can almost hear a sigh of relief when I say it, is that, you know, just in terms of managing your expectations, what's going to happen in this session, I say to them, you know, look, you are living with HIV for 24/7. You're inviting me in for an hour of your week. So I'm going to be looking to you to recruit your experience, your lived experience, you know. So you'll be looking to me for my experience and I'll be looking to you for your lived experience. So we're doing a sort of co-creation together. You know, that's what that's what the sort of journey is, sort of thing. So the client isn't just sat there saying, right, we're going to do some TBT and help you get some, you know, really positive thoughts. They're properly invited into the process, you know, and that can work like magic sometimes, because that in a way makes them already feel valued. My God, he wants, you know, they want my expertise. They want to know what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling as we explore and look into issues. So I wouldn't say that we've got some sort of exclusive patent necessarily, you know, but we have a wider space and a wider space to explore what's happening in the world of that individual.
And I guess also if you are working with counsellors who are volunteering for the service, they also have like a connected interest in the subject area as well, and most likely knowledge as well about HIV and AIDS, and what it's like living with that. We find it with a lot of NHS services. We did an episode on therapy within the NHS, charity sector and private, and we spoke with someone who said obviously there's not any managed training even on LGBT issues within the NHS, and so there's already that kind of disconnect and often stigma when you are LGBTQ plus coming to a service like that, wondering what you're going to be met up with, I guess, in terms of who the counsellor is, what their ideology is and ethics and morals and things like that. And so I guess with a service like yours and Positive East, it's someone's coming to the service, there's already that kind of barrier that's broken down in a sense, isn't there, that, you know, there's going to be that knowledge when they come to the service.
The security as well.
Yeah, there is that sort of security, I guess, or sort of slight comfort that hopefully, you know, this is a specialist organisation. They're there to support people living with and affected by HIV. So they should rightly expect that anyone who is helping them, and, you know, even some of my colleagues who may work in information and advice, as it were, you know, we all, as an organisation, we have our own sort of refreshment training. So everybody is up on the issues, as it were, but specifically with the counsellors, you know, with Dr. McCarthy, who's our, she does some clinical work with some women clients on an amazing project called Reassure. But the two of us tend to interview new counsellors, and so we don't expect them to come with forensic sort of knowledge of HIV that a clinician might have. But, you know, one of the first couple of questions is, why do you want to work in this field? What do you think and what do you imagine the challenges are for people living with HIV? So right from the beginning, you know, there's a sort of proper sort of screening process to make sure that we've got people who want to be there for the right reasons, you know, and bring with them a semblance of knowledge. And, you know, anytime any of us do something new, we're not coming fully prepped, you know, rest is learning as we go along, sort of thing. But there's the basic stuff that clients would expect in terms of knowledge with the counsellors, without a doubt.
And I guess, what more do you think needs to be done to ensure that people living with HIV can access equal support in all mental health services?
So I would say, I think it's ongoing awareness training for anyone who is working as a sort of health professional. And that could be a consultant, you know, that could be a nurse, it could be anybody really. I read the NAT report, or some of it anyway, and they were sort of saying, in terms of the IAP services, increasing access to psychological therapies. And they were saying that some of the workers within that, there was a very sort of poor onward referral process. You know, people didn't really know if they didn't know how to help that person, you know, and they weren't linking into all the integrated sort of healthcare services that are available, as it were. And again, I think some of the testimonies I read of patients or clients were that they still felt a sense of judgment, And it may not have been intentional, but if you don't have the right training, if you don't have that sensitivity, or you don't know how to sort of approach somebody, it might have been a cultural insensitivity. It might have been a lack of knowledge, as it were. So I think it always comes down to training. Yeah. You know, and making sure that just as I, as a therapist, I'm expected to do sort of 45 hours every year of a continued professional development and make sure I know I'm ahead of my game. I know what the new developments are. I knew what the issues are, sort of thing. And I think anybody who's delivering sort of services, especially when you're dealing with people with HIV, and I think the report said that LGBT people in particular are twice as likely to be suffering from anxiety, from stress, you know, from depression, twice the national average, sort of thing. So, you know, they're going to be sitting there in a sort of really unsure, and if their experience is one of being treated insensitively, you know, or just sort of talked to by somebody again who you know, I don't believe in pointing fingers and blaming, that solves nothing, but it's just you know, knowledge is power, you know, always. And if you know how to, and if you're prepped and if you're tooled up with some basic training, you will know how to meet that person, I think. And it goes for the same for anybody who might walk in with cancer or diabetes, anything that's troubling somebody, you know. So I think the more has to do with training and advocating, you know, and lobbying local authorities at governmental level, and not keeping up the fight sounds like a strive, but keeping up the pressure, keeping up the narrative, the conversation, the dialogue around it, sort of thing, which many organizations are doing. There's some fantastic work out there, but it would be easy. It's like, oh, we've got U equals U now, and now everybody's moving towards, you know, treatment where basically you'll live as long as you were going to whatever your blueprint was, sort of thing, you know, sort of so undetectable viral loads and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, treating somebody with medication is great, and the advances have been fantastic. But, you know, it's so much more than somebody going into the service, getting some treatment or getting four sessions of a bit of mental health, basic mental health training, sort of thing. So I think, you know, I don't know what word to substitute, but the fight has to go on. The good fight has to go on, as it were.
So slightly changing the tone a little bit. 27th of November is Positive East's World AIDS Day Red Run. Which has been going for, is it over 12 years now?
Yes, I think so.
How has it been seeing that go from 50 people running at the very first one to now an event that, you know, thousands of people attend and supporters maybe kind of more in the thousands as well? How is that?
It's been nothing short of amazing, astonishing, inspiring, you know, to watch something evolve from a sort of seedling, you know, to grow into the huge event it is today. I think the last time I checked in, I think we had 700 or 800 plus runners registered, you know, and there'll be many more, sort of things. So, you know, in essence, it's a fun run. But behind that, what inspires me is that every year more and more people are deciding, you know, apart from it'll be fun to do a bit of exercise and running, sort of thing, that, you know, it's worth giving up a morning of my time to support something that I feel is really worthy, you know. I guess it shows, because lots of those runners, you know, some of them will be people who already work, you know, in the sector, but some of them are just they're community residents who said, yeah, I'm on board, you know, this is a worthy cause. And it means, I guess, that the conversation about HIV and how it's evolving is seeping into consciousness now. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, it's really beginning to grow. So I find it so inspiring and so encouraging, because yes, we could say, yes, there's always more to do. There's always more work to do. But, you know, life is never one thing. So, you know, An intelligent mind can hold paradox. And whilst there is lots of work to do, there is always amazing things still happening and to be proud of and to be inspired by, you know. So it's just getting the balance, not to rest on laurels, going, well, we're kind of now U equals U and we've got undetectable and, you know, it's in the mainframe conversation. How we keep it there, we've got to be creative, you know, in terms of how we push forward, how we keep that conversation going, how we evolve that, you know, how we evolve care, mental health care, especially for LGBTQ plus, as it were, because, you know, if you take your eye off the ball, people can be left behind very quickly. You know, so we have to continue, as I say, with the good fight.
So to kind of finish off, what can people do if they're listening now to support Positive East, or vice versa, if they, you know, have listened and think actually this is a service that could help them, how can they get in touch that way?
Okay, so what I would say is that Positive East supports people who are either living or working or studying in sort of northeast London boroughs, as it were. That's a huge catchment area, obviously. So, you know, if people listening thinking, oh God, I didn't know they had all those services, I could, you know, I mean, I would just literally, you know, Google positiveeast.com and our website will come up and it shows you everything from our mission statement to our services to our testing to all the programs we have running. And you'll see there's a huge menu and it's really user friendly and you can find out what's going on there. If people like the idea of sort of thinking, you know what, I'd like to maybe get involved in volunteering, because there's there's huge lots and lots of areas where people can get involved, you know, with volunteering. Again, you know, go to the website, click on volunteering, click on testing. You know, if you're worried, there might be people out there who our prevention and testing, for instance, you know, we can now do testing for not just sort of HIV, but for syphilis and gonorrhea and all sorts of things. So there might be people who are just, oh, I don't know where to go. You know, you can come and just click on and find, and it's step by step, you know, how do you want to do this? Do you want to do it online? Do you want to come in face to face? Do you need a conversation with us? You know, it's all the information is there. So the website is our holy grail.
Thanks for chatting with us, Andre. That was really fantastic. If you want to read more about what Positive East do, you can go to positiveeast.org.uk.
As always, the links will all be on our website.
Yeah.
So you can just go to bottomimpodcast.com and you'll find everything that we've spoken about, plus more little nuggets of bits.
Probably too much more.
Maybe, yeah.
But
it'll be all be on there. So another thing that Positive East do is they organise the Red Run. Which is an annual 5 or 10K run in Victoria Park in East London to raise money for Positive East, but also a range of other HIV charities and organisations. I have actually discussed this in the past when we spoke about sport and running.
Right.
When I first moved to London, it was December 2012, and I only trained for maybe 2 weeks. I'd never ran before. I did the 5K. And I popped my knee on the way round. So I had to hobble the last, I think it was like the last 2K I hobbled round. And it was
you
just a mess.
Popped your knee?
It was like a mess start to finish, yeah.
What do you mean popped your knee?
I don't know. Like something went wrong with my knee. Which is why I didn't run again for many, many years. So I've taken part in this before.
Successfully, I hear.
And to see, we went a couple of years ago, didn't we? We saw James. Go and raise some money doing.
Well done, James.
Such a speedy run. He made it like
a piece of cake.
And to see the difference in the amount of people that were running and supporting within, that was what, 7 years from when I did it, was just amazing. So it's really, really good to see the growth of that. And I'm sure it will just continue to get bigger and bigger.
So we asked a number of people at the run, what World AIDS Day meant to them.
We did go along. We didn't run.
No, I mean, you're still recovering all these years later. Yeah.
We went along and had some fun.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah, let's see.
Because we haven't been yet.
No.
Again, recording this a day earlier, but...
So over to you in Victoria Park.
Live on the scene here in Victoria Park, the weather is absolutely stunning. Never have I seen such a gorgeous day. I honestly don't know how people are running because it's so fucking ice cold.
from Food Chain.
We're going to try and get some voice notes.
Beautiful delivery.
So, I work for Mildmay Hospital, which is an HIV rehab hospital, and it is a really important thing. Most people who work there are here today, and I wrote you in.
She wrote me in. I work up at the Royal London Hospital and do a lot of runs, and this is really close to my heart as well. It's such an important thing to be involved with.
Yes, my name is Jen Fancy, and I'm from African Equality Foundation. I'm really feeling so happy to come in today to give back to the community. I'm doing the run, most especially to empower those people living with HIV and to promote HIV services in around the world, in UK and around the world.
So are you working for African Equality Foundation?
I'm a member of African Equality Foundation, and I'm a volunteer as well. African Equality Foundation is an LGBT organization. It's a charity organization that works with asylum seekers and refugees around the UK and empowering them. Yeah, we promote inclusion and we love each other. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
I've been here before as a spectator, but this is the first time that I've run it, and it felt quite special. I was doing it with my partner today, so we ran it around together, and we were raising money for 5016 Street, just in terms of the amazing work that they do in promoting good sexual health to our community, and it's been a great day. You know, I think what's so amazing about it is that it feels so inclusive and warm, and there's that community spirit there as well. Like, I've done a lot of running events in the past, and they're just not as, I don't think they're quite as inclusive as this, and it's a real celebration as well, which is great.
And just to clarify, you mean metaphorically warm?
Metaphorically warm, yes. No, it's absolutely freezing. We're in the midst of a storm just now, but everyone's got like big smiles on their faces, and I think everyone's just so happy to be back together as well after what's happened over the last year.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Harry. Hiya. So I'm running for 5016 Street as well, who provide amazing sexual health services for trans and non-binary people, and they've been an absolute godsend for me, sorting out my hormones and sorting out like all my sexual health stuff. So I thought go up and support them and all the amazing work that they do. I'm not a runner by any stretch, so it's keep a real challenge for me. But got out, it's amazing to see people and say hello, and there's just a good sense of solidarity and keeping everyone together. So it's been an amazing day.
Okay, it's my daughter Josie. She decided we were going to run today, so it's all her who did it. It's her first 5K in a competition, and she chose the charity Didn't You today because. Say what?
Yeah, well, I'm a lesbian, so I just wanted to do something, raise money for a good cause.
Which charity was it?
Youth Stop AIDS.
Amazing. Congrats. And how do you feel now?
Look at that. You're a bit sick.
Oh no, I'm so sorry.
How do you feel?
Fine.
Are you like, are you a professional runner?
Not professional, God, no, but I do run a lot.
And then
Josie plays a lot of football.
Look at them running through the She's always faster than me.
Yeah, I'm supporting Lake, who's running for Blackout UK. And they are black men's and trans non-binary organisation, by and for. They provide social space, support to the black community here in London and, well, in the UK. And they're really fucking awesome. And so is Lake for running for them.
I've come out because I did it 2 years ago. A lot of my friends are LGBT. My friend Gavin lost his partner to AIDS many years ago, HIV. And why I came out today was because I've been sponsored. I got donations for Positive East, like 400 and something quid, so I couldn't back out.
Yeah. Well done.
I'm just running in solidarity, proud member of the LGBT plus community, so just running to be part of it, any excuse to do something with this great group of people. So yeah, just an excuse to come out. And yeah, I couldn't miss, you know, Drag Queen MC and Disco Run. So yeah.
Okay, so that is a wrap here from Victoria Park. The weather has been stunning all day. It has been absolutely sublime weather for these gorgeous runners, and thank you to everyone that spoke to us. We are gonna go and probably get like a nice cold iced tea because we're so warm. But yeah, thank you. Bullet.
Well, we had a great time, didn't we?
We did. Honestly, I loved it. It was a bit chilly.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I had my big coat on.
I mean, it is supposed to be raining tomorrow.
It is, I know.
So,
yeah. Well,
it's the moment you've been waiting for. It's our positive moments of the week.
It is.
Do you want to go first or shall I?
You go first.
Right. Oh, I know what was quite fun. I went to a wine tasting last Friday at my friend Johnny and Millie's house. Hi. And they did this thing where you like people brought bottles of wine and you put them in like these black socks with numbers on. And you basically, the idea is to describe your favourite ones and see if it's like the cheaper one or like the most expensive one. So it was a cute game. But I got very drunk. And turns out all the wine I like is really cheap.
Oh, so, that's good. Cheap date.
And no hangover. So had a great time.
That's rare, cheap wine and no hangover. Well done.
Well, it was, you know, a range of different wines. And also a mix. I had white wine and red wine. Yeah. It's a real mix.
And no hangover, that is...
Like 9 different wines.
That's shocking, that.
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah.
Well, so, I don't know what the positive thing is with the fact that I didn't have a hangover or the actual wine tasting experience.
Okay.
You decide. Tell me.
My positive thing... So, this was a week ago. So, last Friday even, I was invited to go and see a screening of Stonewallhausen's new documentary, Less. And it was really, really, really amazing.
Aww.
It was very, very special. It was in Selfridges, the cinema in there, which was lovely. But it's, yeah, a new documentary. Basically, it's a load of different interviews with people that have either used Stonewallhausen's services. But then there's also people, kind of the discussion around faith and culture and background and summarising, I guess, why Stonewallhausen services especially are crucial, but also other LGBT housing and homelessness charities and all of those things. Just it kind of really shines a light on some of the issues that maybe are not spoken about enough or are not discussed in the mainstream, when actually that's usually the largest proportion of people that need it.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some really, really amazing people in there. And Josh Willacy also was, he's a trustee of Stonewall, hosted the evening, was kind of the compere for like Q&A afterwards. And it was just amazing to hear from some of the people that were interviewed in the film as well. So yeah, that was my positive thing. It's out, they're kind of hoping to air it across film festivals and stuff. So I'm sure there'll be lots more happening with it. Yeah. And I would just urge when it is available to watch it, because I think it's really important, and we'll be sure to discuss it as well. I know.
Oh, definitely.
When it happens. So yeah, that's my positive thing.
Well, that's your lot, honeys. We've really taken you around the houses for 2 episodes, 2 whole episodes.
Yeah.
So thank you for sticking with us. It's a really important day, and it's really important that we stay engaged and are interested in these type of topics. So.
And not just on the day either.
No.
Throughout the year. These sorts of things, as the report from National Age Trust shows, this is the sort of stuff that needs to be embedded in all aspects of services, whether that is healthcare, housing. It shouldn't just be one day a year or 1 month a year or 1 week and then it waits again until next year. It needs to be kind of embedded in everything that we do.
Consistently. Yeah.
So thank you again to Callum from National Aid Trust, to Jose and to Andre from Positive East, and to everyone that we spoke to at the Red Run. It was gorgeous to see you all. We'll see you in a couple of weeks with a new episode.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Send us a review on Apple.
It does make a big difference. I know we always joke about being 5-star or whatever, but it does make a big difference, especially to getting in the charts and then more people being able to hear from what our guests have to say.
Exposure, honey.
Ramble on.
Exposure.
So, yeah, we'd really appreciate a little review and a share. If you enjoyed this episode, do share and tag us as well at Bottoming Pod, wherever you do that.
Yeah. So until then,
you are doing amazing, sweetie.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.